It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. We're going to be discussing home health care and the difference between home health care and home care, because they are different, and sometimes there's confusion as to which one you need, which one Medicare will pay for, etc. My guest is Leanne Seabree. She's the Chief Clinical Officer of Andras Skaugen Home Healthcare and Hospice. They are the largest home healthcare and hospice agency in the state and one of the largest in all of New England. Leanne, thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure to have you on the phone.
Carol, yes, I really am thrilled to have this opportunity. There's one thing that I'm very passionate about, and that is our communities and healthcare and how we can help individuals really be as independent as possible, healthy as possible, and really blending that sense of well-being with being home. And home health care and hospice are a great tool to do that. So I'm very pleased with being on the show with you.
Terrific. Tell me a little bit about Andras Skaugen Home Health Care and Hospice. What is it that you do? You have a variety of services. If anyone logs on to andrasskaugen.org, they can see all of what you do. But just give me an overview of your agency.
Well, Andras Skaugen is one of the organizations, and as you said, we're a large organization. We are independent, we are nonprofit, and we truly are about living. And living from our wee little ones, we have quite a dynamic pediatric program. So our newborns up to our older and more mature, and our patients even at the end of life. So the whole life span, and really being able to meet patients in their home and meeting their needs, their healthcare needs. And that's really, I loved your opening question on what's the difference between home care and home healthcare. And in today's climate, and you had brought up what's covered by Medicare and what's not, many times that continued personal and private duty care almost is more of the home care, allowing folks to remain in their home, and even the term of age in place with extra supports such as helping with bathing and personal care, are that very important services for, in many times, our older citizens to be able to be independent and in their home with that added service. That, for the most part, that would not be covered, for example, under the Medicare Part A for home care, home health. Home health really looks at that professional services that require a registered nurse or a therapist to come in and help with. For example, individuals coming home from the hospital after having surgery, or if they've had a health crisis, a stroke, a heart attack, heart ailments, lung issues, and pulmonary issues that really allow can benefit from the skills of a registered nurse or a therapist coming in and doing medication teaching. Being able to provide in-home support as far as physician follow-up, wound care, teaching and working with IV therapy and infusion therapy at home. And also those folks that have very complex medical needs, such as very fragile diabetes and congestive heart failure, and even the ability to manage acute symptoms or those pronounced symptoms like shortness of breath and pain that could benefit from a nurse or a therapist coming into the home for that well-being, for that safety, for gaining strength, and aren't quite able to get to that outpatient, those outpatient follow-ups and those the outpatient therapy yet. So that's where home health care really can play a dynamic role.
So home care really is just what it says. They might make you a meal, take some transportation, maybe do the laundry.
Correct.
Do housekeeping, really take care Correct. Of you at home. But the minute you need someone skilled for the conditions that you said, you want a home health care. You want to make sure that the word health is in the title Correct. Of whoever you're hiring, because it is health, sort of health care on the road.
Absolutely. It's and what we find is having home health care involved, particularly with folks, with individuals and families that are balancing significant changes in their health, as we had talked about surgeries and even a knee replacement, joint replacement, shoulder surgery, that really it can go hand in hand. At times, folks will choose and be able to need to go to a skilled facility or a rehab center. And at other times, the choice and the direction would be to come home with those services. And they're intermittent services. So for home health care, we are coming in to be able to visit and really work with patients and the families with teaching and the plans of care and then being able to follow up. We're really finding some innovative ways to be able to provide those services even in our most remote corners of the world. And, you know, using technology like telehealth and telemonitoring is really beneficial to, one, folks want to be home, so preventing those rehospitalizations is key, and also really being able to support that return to an independent place of well-being.
Tell me more about telehealth. How does that work? I'm thinking of people who are rural, and which most of Maine is, and they really can't make that trip to even be outpatient. And having someone come to them may not be realistic if there isn't an agency nearby, just from mileage alone.
Right, right. So telehealth is, not all agents, home health care agencies have the availability or have made the investment, been able to make the investment in telehealth. We have a very strong telehealth program. And what that is, if we use really devices, it's like an iPad, to be able to link to equipment such as a pulse oximeter to check a patient's individual's oxygen saturation level and their blood pressure, their weight, when that is integral in part with part of their care plan, as well as their symptoms on pain rating and swelling, and being able to take those measurements from the comfort of your home, in the privacy of your home, that are able to be sent through the Wi-Fi and the communication, the internet system, and it's completely confidential to one of our nurses who are in the office and able to even have remote visits, face-to-face visits, on the screen to be able to talk to a real nurse about, I am feeling a little more short of breath today, and oh yes, my weight is up 2 pounds, which could be fluid if it's a heart failure patient, and really being able to go through those really concrete symptoms as well as the measures from the blood pressure and weight and heart rate, and being able to then feed that information to the physician involved to be able to make real-time changes without delay in the patient's care.
What's required for telehealth? Do you need a strong internet connection? Do you bring the equipment to people and set it all up? Or do they use their own laptop?
Nope. We bring the equipment. It is provided and supported and maintained by our organization, by Andrew Scoggin. And for as long as, A, the patient and the physician feel that it's necessary, and with that, then we can really develop that plan of care around what is best for that particular individual to help them, A, stay out of the hospital and heal from their conditions.
When we come back, we will talk more about this. One of the burning questions that I have about telehealth, because I'm fascinated by it, Leanne, is how prevalent is that in Maine, where we are so rural? I'll let you answer that when we come back. Stay with us. There's much more to come with Leanne Seabury and Andrew Scoggin, Home Healthcare and Hospice. Stay with us. Hi, we're back with Leanne Seabury and with Andrew Scoggin, Home Healthcare and Hospice. Leanne, when we left, I was asking you about the prevalence of telehealth. I'm fascinated by this, that you can get healthcare remotely. It just seems like a good fit for really everyone. The person doesn't have to leave their house, and the workers aren't driving all over the state, so they're able to see more people. What is the prevalence of telehealth in, given that Maine is so rural?
Telehealth and the use of telehealth is becoming more embraced by physicians and physician practices and and hospitals, going hand in hand with home health care and our patients because of the touch point on a daily basis and even several times a day if necessary on being able to have real-time readings and measures of those vital functions and vital statistics, as well as that communication with a healthcare team, is really growing and very prevalent. So Andrew Scoggin, right now we're covering 9 counties, about 187 towns, and we are actually continuing to grow our Augusta office, which has been in previous years a stop-by office. We're now a fully manned office in Augusta because of the needs of the community and the growing needs for home health care. So we are finding that going hand-in-hand with telehealth. So there's some folks that telehealth is an integral part of their plans. If someone has had heart surgery, open heart surgery, or a heart attack, or congestive heart failure, chronic lung conditions, are all indicators that telehealth and those monitors can be really beneficial for helping and supporting patients, and also picking up if there's a change or a exacerbation of the condition, being able to pick those changes up early, so trying to, again, to prevent that need to go back to the hospital.
It certainly increases independence. What do you say to someone who is not internet savvy? They're not sure what to get, what to do. How technologically advanced does someone need to be to operate the telehealth system?
Well, that is such a great question, Carol, because the telehealth units that we're using today are much more intuitive. If someone had experience 10 years ago with a telehealth unit, they're much more intuitive today. And even that we have, as you had mentioned, quite rural areas in Maine that have various and even spotty Wi-Fi signals. So we've been able to work around those. So it's very user-friendly and even intuitive. We also, as I had mentioned, have our telehealth team that are available for troubleshooting and a telephone call away if there's any support, as well as being able to see our telehealth nurses in that remote visit.
So really, would you say it's just a couple of clicks of a button to actually be put in touch with the person, your provider?
Yes. And also with, and we also really are, it's very important for us to have still that 24/7 phone contact. So if it's the middle of the night and being able to call Andrew Scoggin and saying, my mother's having a harder time breathing. Can I talk to a nurse? I really need to troubleshoot what's going on. That is absolutely available to all of our home health care and hospice patients as well.
One last question about this. If someone is interested in this, but they do not have internet service, do you help them find internet service? Because I know some seniors who wouldn't even know where to begin to sign up for internet service so that they could get this.
That's a great question, Carol. And the answer to that is we would not impact or enforce anyone signing up for telehealth or signing up for a Wi-Fi to be able to support telehealth. We have ways to work around that, and it is, in some areas, it is necessary because of, again, that spotty Wi-Fi signal.
So wait, you don't need to have an internet connection to do this?
You would not need to.
That's great. I had no idea.
There's ways to work around it. And our telehealth team is able to do that and work through the program and the processes and the setup with our patients.
So I said last question, but I actually have two more, and I just got the signal that that we're done. But I want to know, is this paid for, and can people self-refer, or does a doctor need to call you and say, hey, bring them telehealth? You can answer that when we come back. We'll be right back right after this. If you want more information about Andrew Scoggin Home Healthcare and Hospice, log on to androscoggin.org, the 800 number, 800-482-7412, 482-7412. Stay with us. More to come. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back with Senior Talk. So, Leanne, when we left, I was asking you, I'm fascinated by telehealth. If somebody is listening to this and they really feel like they could use that added benefit because they can't get out and it's too far for people to come regularly, like every day, can they self-refer and just call you up, call that 800 number and say, I heard this on the radio and I want to do it? Or do they need a doctor's prescription to get you in their house? And also expanding that question to all of your services, does that require a doctor's approval to get Medicare to pay?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, Carol. So for home health care and hospice services to be covered by an insurance, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, Anthem, our Medicare Advantage plans, it does require orders from a physician. And that physician is the one that actually is responsible for overseeing and agreeing with the plan of care. And that can include telehealth for some of the conditions that we've talked about. And with that, it would be part of the Medicare coverage for home health care. There are opportunities for telehealth that either would be privately paid or even through ACOs and some of the community care teams that do have telehealth coverage that is embedded in their programs. But for the most part, for most of our telehealth patients, it is part of an integral part of their home health care plan, which is that physician-driven course of therapy.
So they just need to speak with their physician, and then he or they will call you, and you would come and set this up.
Correct. It would be part of an evaluation, and it will also then be something that would be integral and related to the whole, not just taking a quick look at a blood pressure once a day, but looking at someone's medicines. How effective are they? Are they are they optimized? Are they helping and doing exactly what we need them to do? Are we are our patients seeing those really good trends in their health condition? And also bringing in, we've talked a lot about telehealth, but also bringing in therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, that can be absolutely essential for conditioning and strengthening and recuperating.
With the ultimate goal of getting and having people as independent as they possibly could be, right?
Absolutely. One of the things that we do balance, particularly with our Medicare beneficiaries, our patients that have Medicare coverage, is what's considered a homebound status. And I don't want that to scare anyone, but a homebound status, that means that it really takes considerable and taxing effort to be able to leave the home. And Medicare looks at that as being one of those primary criteria for if home health would be needed. And that makes sense to me, that those are the individuals that really would struggle going to outpatient, getting in on a real regular basis to see their provider. So that makes sense.
You talk about a care team, and there's something called a community care team. Can you describe for me who's on that team and what that means and why it's important?
Yes. Our community care teams really are trying to optimize that relationship building with our patients. And what that means is there, for example, if a nurse would be a primary member of the care team, our patients would really get to know that nurse well and have a primary therapist that would be working with them as well. Granted, covering nights and weekends and things like that, there may be other individuals that come in and other professionals that would also be part of that care team, but that you would really, the goal would be to develop that consistency and that relationship with primary members of your team.
And what are some of the things that the care team does? Do they help with just life in general, like nutrition and exercise and medication management, that type of dental care coordination? I'm pulling this off your website. That type of things that they can do as well?
Yes, and that is because we're looking at the patients as a whole and being able to meet the patient's specific goals, and that's important. So if someone just had open heart surgery, and we have phenomenal hospitals and surgeons and programs in our state, both in Bangor at CMMC as well as down at Maine Medical Center, and coming home to heal. And it's really important that it's not just healing up that incision, it's healing up, you know, the strength and that conditioning, as well as the well-being and the adjustment to gaining back that independence. So there's lots of parts of that care team. And again, it's physician-directed. So we really are looking at the patients and their specific their outcomes that they're looking for, as well as working hand-in-hand with providers and physicians on making sure we're providing the best care possible.
We're almost out of time, but that does include mental health support, because you may need that after a life-altering event like a heart attack.
Right. Our medical social workers are an integral part of our health care team, as well as our home health aides to help with personal care as someone is healing and gaining.
Thank you so much, Leanne Seabury, from Androscoggin Home Healthcare and Hospice. Androscoggin.org is the website, and 1-800-482-7412 is the phone number. Thanks for listening.